It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. This passionate speech was delivered by Delegate Patrick Henry on the floor of the 2nd Virginia Convention at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, on March 23, 1775. The following year, on July 4, 1776, our Declaration of Independence was adopted and released to the public by the Continental Congress. And it begins with these words. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. A decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they may and they are endowed by their Creator with a certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It then concludes with these final phrase. And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Some 245 years later, we are still standing together to freely recite the Pledge of Allegiance, to include the phrase "under God," which was added on Flag Day, July 4, 1954. Because we are one nation under God, our God, who we together worship here today, indivisible, because our Heavenly Father is always faithful to bless His children with liberty and justice for all. During the Civil War era, lawyer, politician, orator, writer, Robert G. Ingersoll penned, "What light is to the eyes, what air is to the lungs, what love is to the heart, liberty is to the soul of man. Without liberty, the brain is in a dungeon, where they are chained thoughts, die with their opinions pressed against the hingeless doors. We all desire life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but we must realize these blessings can only come from God's grace. For in James 1:17, it declares that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Patrick Henry announced to those in Virginia, "Give me liberty or give me death." As believers in Christ, our declaration to the world should be this: give me liberty in Christ, for I have already chosen death to self. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ has already given us life. He has given us eternal life. Our Savior has already won our liberty, our freedom. And He is the only source of finding true happiness. In our scripture passage for today, the Apostle Paul had to correct the church in Galatia about a critical fact that leads to salvation. And it is this: that faith in Jesus is enough. The converts in the region of Galatia were predominantly Gentiles. But the Judaizers, those are Christians, Jews, that felt that in order to complete your salvation, you had to follow the Mosaic laws, including the religious ceremony of circumcision, in order to be saved. Please follow along as we read God's Word out loud from the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Paul writes, "We ourselves, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one shall be justified. But if we, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found to be sinners, is Christ then an agent of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again those things which I have torn down, then I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law. Why? So that I might live to God." Verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ." Death to self. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." Agape love. "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification, if it was through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. My prayer is, may the Lord bless you and me unceasingly in the reading of His Word." As true Christians, we are justified before God only through faith in Jesus Christ. Our freedom, our true and everlasting liberty, only comes when each of us have declared these words: "I have chosen death to self in order to be born again. And now I am alive and I am freed from the world. I am freed from Satan. I am freed from sinful nature. Because the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." As believers and followers of Christ, the church needs to emphasize the sound biblical teachings that death proceeds life. It is this new life. It is this new life that empowers liberty. And it is love which compels us to pursue true happiness. Galatians 2:20 helps us shape what I call our Christian declaration of independence. In verse 20, it starts out, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is our newness of life. In Romans 6, verses 1 through 11, it reads, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus has been baptized also into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, from the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self, it has been crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, and death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And here it is. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So you see, if we truly want to be restored to goodness and pursue a life of righteousness, a human condition existing that is deemed by God to be free of sinfulness, once we were deserving divine punishment and eternal death, it can only be justified by faith in Christ. Let me say that I hope each one of us understand. For only Christ's death can save you. Then and only then can your Christian declaration of independence have any real meaning. We read further in verse 20, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Since our new self is alive in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. We can now experience a life of liberty. We are in fact freed from sin. This is true liberty. In John 14, Jesus promises that the Father will give us a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with each believer and in each believer in Christ forever. When Jesus declared that in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and Jesus said to each one of us, and I am in you. We are assured of the fact that we are now empowered to live a life that to its fullest, but only by faith through Christ. our Christian Declaration of Independence, it now has divine power and control to sustain us and allows us to remain free under any threat, under any circumstance. And then in concluding in verse 20, who loved me and gave himself for me. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. You see, the Christian Declaration of Independence separates us from our oppressors, from those tyrants in this sinful world, and points us in a new direction. The only true north direction in the pursuit of happiness is headed for an eternal heavenly kingdom. It is loving ourselves and others by faith through Christ, which compels us to get there. Which, at the same time, it should be convincing us to bring as many lost souls as we possibly can along with us as we go. My daily prayer is that no one should perish but have everlasting life, no matter where on the highways and byways, the poor, the homeless, the widows, the orphans, the marginalized. God wants you and I to be compelled. He does not give us, set us free. He does not give us liberty. He does not give us life in Christ. He does not have us pursuing happiness to be all bottled up within ourselves, because I will tell you, it will spoil and rot. God gives us life. God gives us liberty. God wants us to pursue happiness. Do you know why? It's because He wants us to go out and do the work of the ministry. How selfish it is for us to pursue life and liberty and happiness just for ourselves. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in Christ alone. Do you want the ability to attain, sustain, and retain life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? The only way to live and to have true and everlasting life is by faith through Christ. Have you pledged to God and to each other? Have you pledged your life? Have you pledged your fortune? Have you pledged your sacred honor? Let me make this very clear. Today, without hesitation, our battle cry on the floor of First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina, on July 4th, 2021, must be to live as Christ and to die as gain. For true followers of Christ, there is no going back. We need to pray this for ourselves, for our family, for our neighbors, for our country. At the conclusion of the Civil War, leaders of these United States of America knew our country could only survive, could only heal, could only thrive if we remained steadfast in the conviction that in all things, in God we trust. Let us not lose sight of the urgency of this important fact, that we were born again for a time such as these. And every citizen of these United States of America should show respect for the sacrifices that were made by those who came before us. The greatest and ultimate sacrifice of all human history was voluntarily given by Jesus the Christ on our behalf, so that we might be set free, and we are free indeed. Do you want to be free of guilt, of fear, of sin, of shame? True freedom only comes from pursuing the narrow road that follows Jesus through death so that you might live, love yourself, and love others. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life requires death in Christ. Liberty requires being empowered and controlled by Christ. And happiness requires loving God and others because He first loved you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12 instructs each of us that as followers of Christ, that we are to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Over the course of our country's history, there have been many battles fought for freedom, both home and abroad, on land, in the air, and at sea. May this nation remain under the protection, the care, and the blessings of our Father, which art in heaven. But let us never forget, we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom that stands forever. A kingdom where liberty and life and happiness are freely bestowed on us because we're heirs of the kingdom, because of what Christ did for us on the cross. As Paul instructed Timothy and that very young church leaders and all the believers everywhere, fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ, who is the blessed and the only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To Jesus Christ, to Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Everlasting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness can only come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. His grace is sufficient for you to experience these given only by God's grace ideals. And by the way, there's much, much more. If you've never received Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you're not sure, today is the day. You can come forward now. You can receive the Lord's free gift of salvation, His forgiveness of all of your sins, past, present, and future, and it will allow Him the freedom to provide you with His Holy Spirit so that you can put on the full armor of God, so that you can bear the fruit of His Holy Spirit, and you can exercise the spiritual gifts that have been graciously yet responsibly given to you to use in the building up of our church community in and through your life. He has an eternal plan for you. You just need to come today and ask Him. Do you know that God longs to have fellowship with you? He's waiting for you. You come.